Hello, welcome, Dr. Alassi. You're the Imam at the Islamic Center in Washington, D.C. Thanks for joining us here on Press TV, face to face. Can you please present yourself for our viewers?
Well, I'm the elected Imam at the Islamic Center in Washington, D.C. I have a mixed type of background. When I went to the university, I specialized in Arabic literature, and then I specialized in government and politics. Of course, these are with degrees, and then in education, I was in the United States Air Force. Currently, I'm working on the first exegesis of the Quran in the English language. It's quite a task. I've been doing it for almost 15 years now. I've so far published about 8 volumes. Each volume is about 500 pages. And I hope in the coming few years I will finish the whole project, which will come out to about 35 to 40 volumes. And I hope this will serve to fill the major gap right now in the public mind that misunderstands Islam. Islam is presented as something that is terrible, that is horrific, that is terrorizing, that is backwards, that everything that's negative in the world is thrown at Islam. I went to the source. The source of Islam is the Quran, and I surfaced the meanings of the Quran to the contemporary mind with contemporary language to explain the real issues of the day per this last revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
We have a very vast, presence of films which depict Muslim characters as the bad guys, the enemies, and people who do not have this knowledge of Islam are believing it. What are we doing as Muslims, or from the Muslim community, or Muslim belief?
I can remember, just to comment on your question, I can remember way back in the early 1970s. Some of the viewers may not be that old to remember. There was a film that came out, I think it was in 1973, it was called The Exorcist. At the beginning of that, and remember, 1973, if you have to go back to the world of 1973, the political terrain of the world, the social makeup of the world, etc., there was no Islamic revolutions, no Islamic upheavals, nothing. It was a calm type. I mean, it was in 1973, there was a war that broke out in the Middle East. It's called the 1973 War. But those were wars that were contained in a couple of weeks, and it was all over. It was nothing major going on. When the film The Exorcist came out, which is supposed to be dealing with demons and the possession of a soul and evil and all that, at the very first beginning of that film, which was supposed to have been shot in Iraq, there was in the background the voice of the call to prayer, the adhan. Now imagine, you're beginning a horror movie that is dealing with demons and Satan and the rest of this, that begins with the adhan, the Muslim call to prayer. Now, isn't that a very subtle penetration of the subliminal mind? So that tells you how effective, how with forethought they deal with the perception of what they describe as enemy or as of evil. Here, there's a combination of evil and enemy. The enemy is Islam, presented in this very subliminal way with this introduction in the film. And then it goes on to speak about Satan and the possession of a young girl, and then the exorcism by the church to try to get this evil spirit out of that body. And these types of messages, if there's a person who is a Hollywood buff and he tries to track these types of very subtle messages that are infused into the large screen, and not even the large screen, even into, you know, the TV sets and the rest of this, you'll find that there's a track record here of trying to demonize Islam and to dehumanize Muslims even before they come of age. Remember, 1973, as I said, there was nothing. Muslims were not in the headlines. There was none of this quote-unquote Islamic terrorism and Islamic bloodbath and all of this stuff. None of that was around. But still, because of the sense of history, these people in Hollywood and their managers and their brains, they have a very keen sense of history. And it shows in the films that they are responsible for all the way up until today. I mean, in current productions of Hollywood, there's a lot of misrepresentation of Muslims and Islam. And it's gone to the degree that you'd think that Muslims are, if anyone is the product of Hollywood in their mind, they would think that Muslims are the incarnation of the devil. It's that simple, and it's that frank. There's nothing else to be said.
Well, this reincarnation today, we see that it has a form, it has a color, it has a slogan. We find it in Syria, we find it in Iraq, we find it in other parts of Africa, and it's called ISIL. And the Islamic State of Iraq and the Levant. And as you said, referring to history, this is let's say, the relation that has the effect on people because of the historical presence of this Islam in this region, which is, let's say, the source of monotheism, and the consequences on the thoughts of ordinary people who don't really understand this enemy in this region.
Yeah, let us step outside of Hollywood for the moment and let us go into the realm of those who think strategically in the political and economic sense of the word. Seeing that there is a movement towards Islamic self-determination in the Islamic hemisphere of the world, it all began with an Islamic revolution. And then after that, there were Islamic movements that began to assert themselves in different countries. This did not go unnoticed. There are people at the highest level of the pecking, of the political pecking order of the West that has taken a very close look. Not that they've been absent, but right now they're looking much more closer at what these Muslims are doing. And so they realize that Muslims, in order for them to gain their independence in the full sense of the word, not the phony independence in the post-World War II years that they said Muslims have gained independence in these artificial nation states that proliferate in Asia and Africa. That is a phony independence. It has no Islamic basis. It has no Islamic drive in it. It's just a sponsored independence by the powers that used to be the colonial powers in those lands. But when Muslims are beginning to go for real independence, when they want to say, these natural resources belong to us, this labor market belongs to us. We're talking about the Islamic hemisphere of the world. So when they realize that there's an Islamic revolution, there are Islamic movements in the world that are moving in that direction, I think they went to their drawing boards and they said, how are we going to abort this oncoming Islamic birth, political rebirth, ideological rebirth, economic rebirth? How are we going to undo this? So one of the ways that they thought would be a very effective way of undoing this is, well, if Muslims are going to go for the gun to liberate themselves from the structures that they have been caged in for all of these years, then let's play their game. Let's fight fire with fire. Let's fight Islam with Islam. Fire with fire. We're going to fight Islam with Islam. So instead of Muslims moving at a calculated and disciplined pace, right now they interjected themselves with a type of Islam that is, in one way or another, terroristic. This terroristic type of Islamic outburst that right now is concentrated in what is referred to as ISIS. I call it ISIS. Some people call it IS, some people call it ISIL. Anyways, this is just a reincarnation of Al-Qaeda. Before ISIS, we had this phenomenon of Al-Qaeda. We had the World Towers coming down in New York. We had, you know, the attacks in the United States. We had the, followed by a sequence of other attacks in other countries, in Europe, in North Africa, in other places. And they made good mileage out of this. They, meaning the brains behind Zionism and imperialism, they made good mileage out of this because they enacted draconian measures. The civil liberties and rights have been very seriously curtailed in the West, in the United States, and in Europe. The propaganda machine went to work against Islam. This gave them fodder for their anti-Islamic diatribes and harangues. Look at the Muslims. Look at what they're doing. My God, the subways in a certain capital, the high rises in another city, the explosions, the blood in the streets, in the malls, all of this scenario put together did not come from Muslims that want self-determination. This is where the confusion sets in. Some people think that what is happening in places like Syria and in Iraq, and before that in capitals in Europe and North America and other countries of the world, some people think, hey, this belongs to what is self-Islamic determination. You guys wanted Islam. Look at what's happening. And this has nothing to do. People, I mean, Muslims have been working on their own political development for generations now.
Yeah, but what is the message of the Islam that which really wants to go forward in not in the violent manner, but in the peaceful manner, which could be, like you said, this fulfillment of this, the messages of the past religions?
The message of the Muslim people, their direction and orientation is independence, which means all of you companies and cartels